You're listening to the Talking Rheumatology Spotlight podcast, brought to you by the British Society for Rheumatology.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this BSR Spotlight Series podcast. I'm your host for today. My name's Will Gregory, physiotherapist at Salford Royal Hospital. And I'm really honoured and delighted to be joined today by Claire Pidgeon, Advanced Practice Occupational Therapist at Birmingham Women and Children's NHS Foundation Trust. Claire, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Will. It's an honour.
So the theme for February, our month on e-learning, is around the hand. And we've slightly cheated here because we know that occupational therapists are often involved in the assessment and expert management of the hand, but that's not really your role, Claire, as we'll hear during this podcast. So we were keen to profile that broader role for occupational therapy and particularly keen to talk about paediatric rheumatology as well. So should we start with, Claire, do you want to just tell us how you got into paediatric rheumatology?
Of course. So I've been a qualified occupational therapist for, believe it or not, 22 years. And during that time, I've spent 20 years of that working within the field of paediatrics. So I was very clear when I was training that that's the sort of area I wanted to specialise in. And was quite focused and quite dogged in my finding the opportunities to ensure that I got some experience. So, and that's not always that easy when you're training to find a paediatric placement. And once I'd qualified, I'd made it my mission to find a rotation that had a paediatric rotation, again, to sort of make sure that I had a really strong experience and background in terms of being able to sort of follow on my career path. So I was quite focused in working in paediatrics. Once I'd completed my rotation, I secured a senior post in sort of Leicester at the Royal Infirmary. And within that role, I had a small caseload of young people with juvenile idiopathic arthritis. And that's sort of fairly early on in my career, I sort of came across the rheumatology sort of condition and sort of understood and started to understand the impact of having an inflammatory condition can have on a young person, but also my role within supporting and advising families regarding how they can sort of ensure that they stay as independent as possible and they can do all of the activities that they want to and need to be able to do. So that started my sort of passion for rheumatology, I would say. Family sort of got in the way to a certain extent during my sort of career path. So I was lucky enough to have two children, and for various reasons to do with sort of my family commitments, moved from Leicester to sort of a more local community service, where I had a small, again, another caseload of young people with juvenile idiopathic arthritis, and quite sort of quickly became a team lead within that service, heading up the physical disability team. Looking at young people that had chronic conditions, and one of the key sort of conditions that we were sort of looking after with young people with rheumatological conditions. So there has been sort of a running theme, I think, in my career of having that sort of experience. And as time sort of progressed, I saw this opportunity at Birmingham Children's Hospital and jumped at it, really. And was able to prove that I had the sort of background and the knowledge and experience to step into a more specialist tertiary centre, and have been sort of fortunate to be working here ever since. I had some big shoes to fill, because my predecessors as paediatric rheumatology OTs were the greats like Janine Hackett, who has been sort of really forefront in leading the OT role in paediatric rheumatology. Actively involved in research and sort of developing the service. So I inherited quite a robust OT team here. And we have an, you know, we're very fortunate to have a really strong MDT service. And we're really valued as a therapy team. So that's, I think I've been very fortunate to sort of land where I am now and to sort of take the role forward even further. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And really good to be at a tertiary centre where you, I suppose, will see a lot of what could be quite a rare condition.
Absolutely.
So I did say this was our month of looking at the hand, but obviously we wanted to explore a lot more breadth. So occupational therapy and rheumatology is about more than just the hand. Do you want to give us a brief overview of what you've done in the role and what you see in that role as part of the MDT?
Of course, no problem. So central to my role as an occupational therapist is I see it as, and I make it my mission to empower young people to be able to carry out their activities or occupations as we see it, so what they participate in during the day and things that they want and need to be able to do despite barriers like illness or injury or disability. So that's like central to my sort of professional role, I would say, and I sort of focus on supporting and empowering young people to be able to achieve independence in a sort of an age-appropriate manner. So I'm taking into account their development too along their lifespan with me. So that's always in the forefront of my mind. What would we be expecting a young person to be able to be doing at their age and their stage of development? And make sure that they're participating and engaging in their meaningful occupation. So I think that means for me that it's not just about the hand, although we use the hand to do so many functional activities. I'm also thinking about one of their core occupations, which is play and engaging in leisure activities. So for little ones that aren't at nursery or aren't at school, I'm thinking about how they sort of are able to get down and on up and down off the floor, how they pick up their play activities, how they sort of use their cutlery to feed themselves and engage in independent activities of daily living, participating and putting their sort of clothes on. And then as they get older, I'm certainly focused quite heavily on how a young person accesses school and how living with a chronic condition can affect that, whether they're struggling with a sort of an episode of pain and flare in their condition, and that limits their ability to be able to access the school environment, or struggling to hold and lift and carry a rucksack around school. So what we can do, how we can educate school about putting reasonable adjustments into the school day that means that it makes it much easier for a young person to access school, and then they are able to learn, concentrate on their future and what they want to achieve despite their condition, not as a result of their condition. So looking to make sure that their physical their diagnosis doesn't impact their long-term outcomes. Other things that I might consider in terms of their occupations and is massive is things like sleep. So I'd be looking at their routines around ensuring that they understand the importance of sleep. So I do a lot of education around why we need to sleep, what impact not having a good sleep routine can have. And for a lot of the young people and teenagers in particular that might struggle with that, I sort of ask them to keep things like a sleep diary, so we make them really aware of their routines and how then we can sort of collaborate and talk together about things that could be altered or adjusted, things that they could be added in to make falling to sleep a little bit easier. And so I'd look at quite regularly with young people around their sleep routine, because that can have an impact on their ability to concentrate at school, their ability to cope and manage with pain. It can affect their mood and how they sort of interact with their peers or their family. So it's wide ranging. So I often find myself talking to young people about the impact of a poor sleep routine or not getting enough sleep can have sort of a detrimental effect on how they manage and cope just generally. I also have had the opportunity within the service at Birmingham to develop workshops that we run around things like preparing a young person for the world of work. So we do a work readiness workshops, which explores living with a chronic condition, but thinking about their future and whether they're sort of considering opportunities for work experience placements or thinking about a Saturday job or maybe thinking about what they want to do in the future. And there are all sorts of aspects that we think about, but isn't necessarily covered in the standard school-based careers advice. So we sort of spend time along with my colleagues within the team that are charity sort of representatives. So I have a colleague who's a youth worker who works with Versus Arthritis, who we run the workshop alongside each other. And I think that means that the workshop is richer in its content because we have the health and charity working alongside each other, so that sort of works really well. So we have all of these. We also run an independence residential break in the summer, which means that we encourage young people to come away with us to, at the moment we go to the Peak District for 4 days, and that again is something where we're encouraging young people to work together, but sort of modelling and demonstrating the importance of independence with sort of meal preparation, making beds, all of the things that sometimes perhaps young people might get protected by because they have a physical long-term condition, but actually there's no reason why we can't participate in all of those activities, including fun things like canoeing, climbing, and all of the other things. But they also get the added benefit of meeting other young people with a rheumatology condition. They are able to give them peer support to each other, understand that actually sometimes it's not easy taking quite medication and the side effects they're having to live with, and what sort of things have you done that has been helpful. So we facilitate those sort of really important conversations to happen to in an informal, non-medical setting, which is really powerful, actually, really powerful. So there's all sorts of things that I do that aren't just to do with the hand, believe it or not. So I look at the whole person, if that makes sense.
So I think what you've described is a really interesting role, and I'm thinking, you know, this is a job that I would love to do, and I can see why it is a passion for you. But I'm thinking there's not many paediatric rheumatology OTs around. So just leading into where we met and just giving our listeners a little bit of behind the scenes, we met on the BSR Future Leaders project. And I think your project was looking at how you can kind of share the expertise you have and develop it in neighbouring areas. Do you want to talk us through that a little bit?
Absolutely, yes. It's been great actually having the opportunity, actually spending time within the sort of Future Leaders course. And I've wanted to sort of celebrate OT. And I think actually being part of this group has been really sort of helpful locally and nationally. Actually, you're right. There aren't that many paediatric rheumatology OTs around, but we're fortunate to have local networks that we can access as an MDT at Birmingham. So sort of within the sort of region, we sort of meet quarterly as a network, and we reach out to local therapists that have, like I had when I was earlier on in my training, a small caseload of young people with JIA, and actually reach out to the community colleagues to sort of support and provide opportunities to network and sort of share our learning and best practice. And then sort of nationally, as an AHP sort of group, we are quite good at meeting up regularly, sort of whether that's through conference or our sort of biannual meetings that we have as part of BSR and BSPAR, which was formerly our sort of national organisation. And we also have like a WhatsApp group where if we need some questions answering quite quickly or just sort of giving each other support on ideas and things that are developing in our service. And sometimes just informal benchmarking, we'll sort of message each other on our sort of WhatsApp group. So we've got various avenues of how we link into each other because we're sort of spread quite thinly. And it's really important that we stick together and we collaborate so that we are sort of focusing and ensuring that we're sort of giving each other support, but we're sort of achieving the best practice for the young people that we're working with. In my role in Coventry, I've been fortunate to secure an advanced practitioner role in Coventry and Warwickshire, and so I'm looking to stretch that further now and sort of provide a sort of a similar service that we're providing in Birmingham into this new region. And I'm working alongside our medical and adult colleagues, AHP colleagues, to sort of look at how that can be developed so that we're providing an equitable service. So that's an exciting sort of step forward. And that's my project for the Future Leaders course, is to sort of work on that, using and learning leadership skills where I can sort of look at pushing sort of forward boundaries and sort of working on that aspect of my role. So that's sort of, I'm making progress. I've got some excellent support from therapy managers within the region, and I'm sort of excited about where that's going to go actually.
It sounds like you're the right person in the right place at the right time as well to kind of drive forward that agenda and have the clout behind you to say, look, we've seen it work, we know this kind of provision works and it should be replicable across the country. Now, I'm not saying you need to be nationwide at this point, but certainly it's exciting to see.
Yeah, I hope so. Myself and my colleague, physio colleague who have secured the roles, are really excited about how the future is going to look. So, and we're in the driving seat to help that happen, which is really important as therapists, I think. We bring a richer aspect to a sort of multidisciplinary team. So.
Right. And you've almost touched on my final question for the podcast, which is around the slightly patchy application of occupational therapy. So why should all rheumatology departments, and we're going children's, youth and adults through this, why should all of those rheumatology departments have a specialist rheumatology occupational therapist?
It's my area of passion, I would say. And I absolutely believe, where possible, where we can sort of seek funding, in my opinion, urge all sort of rheumatology departments to include a specialist rheumatology occupational therapist. I think we're fortunate to be in the position to be trained to, and I know all AHPs look at this, but being holistic and ensuring that we sort of help people across the lifespan, so from a young child to sort of older adults and older people. So looking at the lifespan of a person and how they participate in the things that they want and need to be able to do, and using the therapeutic use of everyday activities to be able to engage and encourage people to participate in everyday activities. So we use occupation as our therapy. We are very creative and scientific, and we use evidence-based to be able to implement this therapy. And we are masters of modification, and we're experts at sort of analysing a task and breaking it down into its component parts. We use that sort of core skill of activity analysis to then be able to help a person to be able to achieve those independence in those activities by taking it step by step. I certainly, and I know a lot of, I'll speak on behalf of the profession, that we're really passionate about making a positive difference with the people that we work with, whether they're young or old, and the families and the communities that they live in and work in. So I think it's really important. I obviously have touched on the types of things that I do in my role as a paediatric rheumatologist. And while I don't want to speak on behalf of my colleagues in the adult sector, because I might not do them full justice, but I know that they will be thinking and considering other things other than the hand and a lot of referrals at this point, I think, possibly are sort of focused towards hand therapists. And there is a lot to be done, I think, within the sort of aspect of managing, providing joint protection, providing splints and advice and recommendations about how a person maintains their hand function when they have got a flare or joint deformity or damage to their fingers or their wrists. But there are other things that we definitely can get involved with, whether that's around pain management, whether that's around fatigue management and joint protection, thinking about how a person can be able to dress themselves independently. And that might be things like aids and adaptations to what they're doing or their home environment. And that might mean referrals to my colleagues in the social services teams that would look at home adaptations. But it's reaching out and providing an enabling and rehabilitation sort of intervention, as well as looking at aids and adaptations. So there's, like I've touched on a few aspects, but I think that would be in addition to sort of looking at splinting and hand sort of assessments.
And that's certainly the picture I'm getting speaking to colleagues, that the breadth of occupational therapy input that can be offered to rheumatology can impact almost all the diagnoses we see, and in different ways. Definitely. And really give quality outcomes. You know, we're hopefully getting better at medications that control the disease, but we now need all the extra stuff that makes life more fun, more livable, more...
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we sit quite helpfully, because of our training, we train in physical health, but we also train in mental health. So we bring our knowledge from sort of understanding how a chronic physical condition can affect our body and how we move and we participate in occupations. But we also recognise how living with a long-term condition can affect our mood and our emotional well-being. And that's where we can bring in other aspects of a biopsychosocial model of really complementing a medical approach, but also thinking about how we can support somebody that's really struggling to come to terms with not being able to work or having to change their career path because what they had been able to do, they're really struggling to now be able to complete. So I think that brings and supplements the approach that we provide, is we're thinking about all aspects of a person. So that's when I talk about holistic, we're talking about physical health, but also somebody's emotional well-being too. And I see that with young people. I'm quite regularly talking to them about how they're sort of managing getting their head around living with a long-term condition that maybe might affect them as they get older, and that might change what they had hoped and thought about their future looking like and what it might look like now. But there's no reason why we can't strive for all of their hopes and dreams that they really had looked forward to.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time and your expertise and sharing that enthusiasm and passion you have, Claire. I'm sure we'll hear plenty more, and we're looking forward to hearing more updates on your projects there. Just for those listening to the podcast, just to point you towards, we've got another advanced practice occupational therapist featuring this month, and there's a video from the BSR conference with Kath McCoy, who's an adult advanced practice occupational therapist, that I can highly recommend. And I think the two sessions go hand in hand with the breadth and the impact that we can see from occupational therapists working in rheumatology. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening to Talking Rheumatology Spotlight, brought to you by BSR. Please do rate, share and subscribe through your favourite podcast app.